If you think you can't go from politics to the divine, Carol Gold and Steve Clark are about to take you above the fray. The only agenda here is to empower you to think for yourself, ask more questions, and trust your own truth. So now, the combination talk radio has been missing. Until now, Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you above the fray.
Hi, I'm Carol Gold, and I'm here at 914-803-4522, the call-in number at Above the Fray podcast. And I'm also here with my co-host, Steve Clark. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hi, Carol.
This is a somewhat unscheduled show at an unscheduled normal time. I guess that's an awkward way of saying we don't usually do the show at this time of day, but you'll listen to it archived, so it probably won't matter anyway. I feel like a prophet. I have to tell you, Steve, I had on my website, carolgold.com, for several years a free ebook that was titled No More Secrets. And the premise of the book, as I said in the introduction, was that I believed we were coming into a period in human evolution when you wouldn't be able to have secrets. That whatever was of the dark, so to speak, whatever was hurtful, harmful, not good for the highest good of all concerned, would be revealed. There would be no place for the dark to hide because the light would be shining brightly. And when I say the light, I mean spiritual light when I talk in those terms. So it's so fascinating to me because, after all, isn't that where we are? I mean, I know that in the promo for tonight's show, Steve, this afternoon show, it's my habit at night, the promo for this show was that whether it's Hillary Clinton's server or Jared Fogle from Subway,
yes,
or the Ashley Madison data dump, I mean, it goes on and on. The WikiLeaks, you know, it began in a sense with WikiLeaks in the big picture. You just, every day you wake up and there's more and more revelation. And that's the only word you can use for it, I think. And we can talk about them individually, but I find the umbrella fascinating, the overall concept of there's nowhere to hide anymore. Now, in one sense, it's unnerving because it also means, such as with the NSA, or I don't know whether you saw the piece on Fox News that they did, that Brett Baer did, on the flashlight on your cell phone. Did you see that, Steve?
I did not.
Okay, so let me just say what that is, because that makes the point of the other side of this story, which is, yes, it's great that deceit comes to light. It's also a little unnerving that we ourselves have no privacy. There is nowhere to go anymore where you're not basically fully exposed. They've just learned that the flashlight on your iPhone or on any phone that you own, if you have downloaded a flashlight app onto your cell phone, it is malware that is transporting back to Russia and China all of your contacts, all of the personal information on your phone. If you bank on using your phone, if you have credit card information on your phone, it's all malware. And they did a special on, Brett Baer did a special, he had on the guy who, I'm sorry that I cannot remember the name of the website, where all of this has been put online, but they are suggesting that if you have a flashlight app on your phone and it has more than, I think it's 100,000 megabytes or whatever it's called, which 99.9% of them do, they're all up in the 1.5 million whatever, which is an insane amount of space for a flashlight. It's there as data recovery, that you not only have to go have it removed from your phone. It's not enough that you disable it. It's not enough that you get it off your phone. It has a Trojan in it that remains in your phone even if you disconnect it or take it out. You actually have to take your phone back to where you bought it and have it back to factory reset. And that obviously first you want to take your contacts off and store them, you know, in the cloud or where, if you trust the cloud, or you store them wherever. But it's another instance of It's the other side, rather. It's in essence, it's the downside of all of the disclosure and all of the apparent awareness of everything, the inability to hide anything. The downside is this whole issue of personal privacy, not really where we wanted to start the show off tonight. I'd rather start it off, Steve, with the other side of it, which is the good side, which is that let's look at the Ashley Madison dump. You're talking about, I forget how many million, 300 million. I mean, it's some insane amount of people. Men, 90 or 95% of the people on Ashley Madison are male, which is why women can join free. They need women. Are seeking, they're married men seeking to have an affair. So the fact that that comes to light, I think personally, is a good thing. What do you think?
I think it's a great thing, to be perfectly blunt. You know, it's I think all these disclosures have been, I think, phenomenal in unmasking all these different programs that exist. You know, from going back to Edward Snowden to Julian Assange to Ashley Madison, we now live in an environment, for good or for bad, that everything gets exposed. And the bad, you know, the bad that I would just say is on the downside, I think some of this information, as me speaking more as of a parent, is that just that all your mistakes are now easily accessible and easily notified and easily Googled. And so I think there's a downside for the youth to realize with technologies, you know, unfortunately, the mistakes that you make are could be for with you forever. It's kind of like a porno star. Once that video gets out there, it's out there forever. And so I think the youth don't really understand this amazing technology that exists today that exposes everything to the light. I personally think it's a phenomenal thing because it really exposes everybody. And so, for example, for many years, you know, take case in point that the example right now with Hillary Clinton, that she is being exposed for wiping clean her servers. And as much as the media tries to hide it, the truth is going to come out on this one. It's we live in a day and age where maybe 20 or 30 years ago, politicians could get away with these things. So I think it becomes a much more transparent culture. It forces people to be honest and transparent, whether they like it or not. And I think that's a good thing for society. You know, I really do. The media, in so many ways, has let us down in many instances. And this technology is doing something for everybody that the media would no longer do, and that's really exposing everything to the light. And the tragedy of Ashley Madison is that, you know, if you're a married man or a married woman having an affair, there's always children involved, and it's all that's the downside of that is that a lot of, you know, families and innocent, you know, spouses are going to be affected by this, which is, you know, it's a real human tragedy to the story that I don't think has been fully developed as of yet, but I think will come to the light as we go forward.
Well, you make a really good point about the youth, and I think there's another aspect to that, Steve. They not only don't yet realize that everything they do will be cataloged and accessible forever because of the technology, but I don't think they even realize the extent to which, you know, they'll use their cell phone to text a bank account number, something that is that will allow identity theft of them. And I don't think because they've grown up in this world of technology where their thumbs, you know, are their access to the world, they don't realize yet that every little thing come back to haunt them. You know, I just had an incident yesterday myself. I was very suspect. I did it, but after I did it, I was sorry I had done it. And here's what it was. I freelance for a company, and I do editing, and they needed my signature because on the last book that I edited, on the cover, it gives the editor and the publisher both get they get credit on the cover, but the way the credit is done is it's your signature, and it'll like say Carol Gold, editor, and then above it, the Carol Gold is my own signature. That's how they do their covers. So they emailed me, and they said, could you sign something and scan in your signature and scan it over to us? So I did, and my scanner was down. It wouldn't work. So I emailed back and I said, my scanner's down. Do you have another suggestion, or do you have VeriSign where you can send me a document that requires my signature? I'll sign it and then I'll send it back to you. And he answered me and he said, no, just take a picture of your signature on your cell phone and upload it to the computer and email it to me. So I did that. And as soon as I had done it, I thought, you know what? I just sent my signature out over the internet. Well, I sent it in email's not secure. Anybody can, I mean, email's not secure. That's why government officials don't have email. Highly placed government officials don't use email, except perhaps, I guess, Hillary Clinton. So I thought to myself, if there's so much identity fraud, I just literally sent my signature out. You know, somebody gets a hold of a credit card number or somebody. I thought of all these things that a hacker or someone with ill intent could do. So what I'm saying is that the scope of the technology, what it has opened up, I agree with you. It's a great thing because unlike what Hillary Clinton said the other day, by the way, going to her twice, the other day she was asked by a Black Lives Matter participant at a Q&A, what she planned to do about police discrimination that is predominantly against blacks. And her answer was, well, we can't change hearts, but we can legislate and we can pass laws and we can enforce laws. And as soon as she said it, I thought, absolutely backwards. You cannot legislate morality, you cannot legislate ethics, and you cannot legislate what someone should feel. Feel in their heart. We, in fact, have to change hearts first. So you just said something, Steve, that made me think of that. You said all of this exposure will make people be honest whether they want to or not, because sooner or later they're going to realize that dishonesty will catch up with you in a very public and huge way with grand consequences. It is an instance where, yes, government can't make people behave well, but the light can. Meaning, you know, people underestimate the power of spirit. They underestimate the power of what we call God. They underestimate the power of creation. The light can do, just like we have stories of seas being parted and miracles happening all throughout human history, the light can do things that mankind cannot. And I agree with you, Steve. It will be a push toward more transparency, towards more honesty, towards more integrity. It may take a while because the old system is very much entrenched, especially in government, but it will eventually have that end result. I believe you're right.
Yeah, the thing that I find fascinating about this also is that there's been kind of offhanded stories about, you know, about just this, about things coming to the light. I'm going to go off a little bit on a tangent, but I think it's relevant. A lot of millennials, I would call, are much more libertarian in nature. I think they think they're a little liberal, but I think they're really much more libertarian. And the classic cases has been this case with Uber, for example. And the millennials love Uber, and they love taking it around and driving it around. And what's come to light is that, you know, they believe that the government liked them as well. And there's been cases throughout the country where government has sided on the behalf of the taxi companies and the union workers that work there, because clearly it's a better voting block, right? If you can control the licenses, which is a lot of money, and you can control the union workers to operate under one place, it's a much better deal for Democrats for whatever political party, I should better say, for securing those votes. And it's being the light is being shown on these contract negotiations that, oh my God, I didn't really realize that, you know, the government would be against something that liberates human beings, where I can call up a taxi at any time and get it. So I just think there's all these, you know, if you start looking at the news now, bits and pieces come out where people are beginning to question, you know, some of their beliefs of, oh my God, how is it possible that my government wouldn't allow Uber? I take Uber everywhere. And I think that's had a very positive, I think a positive note that's happened in just, you know, society at large, that this shining of light just on basic, simple government matters now is helping. I mean, we both have seen a lot of videos over the last year where parents have come in for a Common Core, and you'll see the police escort parents out of those meetings. I think, again, it's another example of shining the light on, you know, on these practices. How is it possible that a parent who has a concern has to be escorted out by the police? I think these are, it's great news, and it's great, great things for society at large, because they can no longer hide, you know, the government can no longer hide behind policies and the voting blocks that they represent.
So what I want to see is if it really does make a policy difference. You know, beginning of World War II, in the middle of World War II, the United States turned away a ship of Jewish refugees from Germany, and that ship languished off the U.S. coastal waters until the government said, no, they have to go back. We will not accept them. And half the people on that ship died in concentration camps subsequently. We are now turning away Christians who are being slaughtered by ISIS in the Middle East, and our government has said no to Christian refugees. Yet our southern border is open to any crook, any terrorist, any illegal who wants to come in. So I'm curious to see what happens now, because this news is beginning to spread, that this administration has said no to these Christian refugees. And I'm hopeful that this kind of transparency that the internet provides, that social media provides, actually creates rather swift policy changes that normally either don't occur for a very long time, or that the public never even finds out about till long after the fact and the damage is done. I was personally appalled when I heard this. It was so reminiscent to me as a Jew of what happened to the Jews in World War II. It was inconceivable to me that we could come all this distance and now do exactly the same thing to another religious and or ethnic group. And yet here we are. And so I think that, you know, the show encompasses, tonight's topic encompasses a lot, but one of the things that I was recently thinking was that we, as a nation, you know, we're very much, I think, at a juncture where we're being given an opportunity to choose life over death, whether it's the Planned Parenthood issue, or it's ISIS, or it's not protecting the border and allowing criminals and drug dealers in. I mean, I just read today that the governor of Arizona said, I believe, no, the 30 miles south of, I think, Phoenix, the drug cartels have complete control of the geography. 30 miles. I mean, that this can be going on and we cannot be responding swiftly as a culture, as a society, as a nation. It concerns me, because as much as I'm optimistic about what the light can do, I also at times feel like all of this transparency is a gift that we're being given, but also it's a test that we're having to take. Meaning, if we can see the truth, what will we do about it? And historically, we've been very complacent and very apathetic, and very much, well, it's not affecting me, so, you know, what do I care? I recently, I know I spoke to you about this offline, Steve, off the show, but I've written about it now in several blogs. I've never been active in being pro-life because I never really, I mean, I adopted a child. I never really gave a lot of thought to pro-choice or pro-life, quite honestly. It wasn't an issue I personally had ever been confronted with. Yet with this Planned Parenthood revelation, these horrific videos, I can't stop thinking about it or addressing it, whether it's on my Facebook page or on my Twitter page or on our site, AboveTheFrayPodcast.com. I just can't get it out of my mind because I feel like now that I know this, it's incumbent upon me to do something about it. It's not okay to kill 55 million babies. It's not okay. You can call them anything you want. You know, you can call it global warming or climate change or anything you want. It shifts in the weather, and it's happened throughout human history. You can call it tissue or fetus anything you want, but when you see its arms and its legs, you're talking about a baby, and I'm not even talking late term. So I don't want to get all bogged down in the abortion issue. We've done another show on that. But to me, it's another opportunity to say, okay, what is all this transparency? So it's got its upside, it's got its downside, but what's my responsibility to the transparency? What's my responsibility to the truth? Any thoughts on that, Steve?
Yeah, you bring up an excellent point that with this knowledge, it becomes a measure of responsibility. And there's been a lot of blog posts out there, you know. Again, we'll just tackle the abortion issue because it's just an issue. It's an easier issue to discuss in the sense that there is in the alternative media, there's a lot of content out there, but in the traditional media, there is no content. There's very limited. Again, we go back to kind of the old way of doing business, is that Planned Parenthood and Emily's List is a huge block of traction and voter and votes and donations for the Democrat Party. And so the comments in the alternative media is that yes, if you have any semblance of morality, you do have an obligation and responsibility to right these wrongs. Just because the light's being shown on it, there now needs, unfortunately, another push to really get it out there so these things get defunded. So There comes with the light a certain sense of responsibility. I think the real tragedy would be that we've shown the light on it and people just say, I don't really care. It doesn't affect me. And I think in this instance, believe it or not, I think there's a lot of people out there like that. I think a lot of people get their news from the mainstream media, and in that essence, it's not being reported. So even though the light has come on these horrific videos and people are seeing what's happening, there's still an obligation by everybody, myself included, to do something more than just to realize that the light has been shown on it, that there's something else that has to be done.
So let me take that one step further. You may remember, I think I said it to you as well as I said it to several other people I've spoken to in the last couple days, and they've all confirmed that they remember me telling them this about 2 to 3 weeks ago. I said I saw fire coming. I said that I saw tough times up ahead, and I saw fire, and I didn't know what that was all about. Well, now we've got 4 states on fire. We've got 3 dead firefighters, and they cannot so far get these fires under control. And as you were talking just now, you know, as you know, and our listeners know, I've been an intuitive all my life as well as a licensed attorney, and I thought about while you were talking, you know, light, it's energy, and white light, it's hot. It's electromagnetic light burns without fire. It burns without consuming. But there's also fire, there's light that can consume. And this concept of personal responsibility, as you just said, Steve, you know, with the transparency, as I said, comes the personal responsibility, and you confirmed that in what you were saying. I think we have to be very careful about abdicating the personal responsibility. I think we have to be very careful about turning a blind eye to some of these very, very eminent and important issues that we're being confronted with through the transparency, because I believe that historically it isn't so much that God takes vengeance as it is that nature has a way of bringing the system into balance. Some people like to believe, you know, it's the hand of God doing something in terms of retribution or punishment for failure to act according to biblical principles. I would say this: if you know anything about complexity theory, complexity science and complexity theory is that there are organisms that are complex organisms, and it happens that most living beings are complex organisms. And what a complex organism means is that they used to believe, for example, in business 25, 30 years ago, if you fixed, you had trouble in your business and you fixed the department that was having the problem, let's say it was shipping, then you fixed the problem in shipping and everything became right in the rest of the business. Well, that was the old Newtonian way of looking at things. But in modern complexity science, the way to look at a complex organism is, if you fix the shipping department, you're most likely next going to have to fix the accounting department, because what you did in shipping is going to impact accounting. In other words, in a complex adaptive system, you can't just fix something and it fixes the whole entity, because the rest of the entity shifts to adjust to the fix that you implemented. We humans are complex adaptive systems. Our bodies are complex adaptive systems, okay? So whatever's going on in one area of your body, it inevitably affects all the other functions and organs of your body. And you have to, and your body will adapt accordingly. It will adapt for survival purposes. It will adapt in a way that it will move toward the highest good for its own survival. Earth is a complex adaptive system. The universe is a complex adaptive system. So when I look at these fires out in these four states, I don't necessarily immediately think, oh, God struck, you know, Utah and Oregon and California and Iowa. I don't think that. What I think is that we are so out of balance and we have so maladapted to our highest good that the system, the complex adaptive system, is adjusting itself. And it's like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It's not a fun process. When it comes to Earth and humanity and the universe, it's not always an easy process to realign the entity for survival. But that may be what's going on out west, because we haven't taken the reins ourselves. We haven't taken hold of these issues and begun serious correction. So nature is beginning, the organism is beginning to self-correct. And it's why I think this concept of personal responsibility, Steve, is so vital. We've got 2 minutes. Go ahead. Whatever you want.
No, you know, I don't really have much more to wrap up, but I just think, you know, I'd like to comment on the point of personal responsibility. I think that's where it's all leading down to, and you know, just like the great response yesterday by Hillary Clinton regarding personal responsibility when they asked her, you know, not to wipe her server clean. I mean, and she's not a novice; she's been around the block, and you know, the comment that she made back was, well, what do you mean, like wiped it down with a cloth? And I think people just realize, you know, in this day and age, don't be ridiculous. Don't be petty. Don't be coy. Give an honest answer. And I think that's what it comes down to. They asked for a server and they expected her to come back. And she, you know, whatever you think about her as a politician or as a person, she had a personal responsibility to deliver something and she didn't. And so I think you're right. We live in an age that personal responsibility is going to become paramount.
She had a personal responsibility to the nation, not just to her employer, but she had a personal responsibility to all of us, and she failed us in almost every effort she has made in a position of leadership or quasi-leadership, and it just boggles my mind, I'll go out on this thought, that anybody could be seriously considering her for President of the United States. Stephen, I thank you for joining us. We'll be back here again next, what would that be, Steve? Monday night, 6 p.m.,
Monday.
Above the Fray podcast. I'm Carol Gold.
I'm Steve Clark.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Above the Fray with Carol Gold and Steve Clark, from politics to the divine. Thanks for being a part of a new way to see the world. Visit our website at AboveTheFrayPodcast.com and like us on our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/AboveTheFrayPodcast. This has been Carol Gold and Steve Clark, taking you always above the fray.